This morning, if you have your Bibles, and will turn with me to Ephesians. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. We want to begin at look this morning at verses 10 through 12. 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's just bow and pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, help us to understand the battle we're in. And it is a great spiritual battle. And at the heart of it are the souls of mankind. Lord, help us to understand the intensity of the battle, that we wrestle against an enemy that is greater than us, stronger than us, smarter than us, but an enemy that desires to destroy all that you love. And we thank you, even as David lifted up in his psalm, that you are the rock that we can turn to. You are the one that is greater than him. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, we thank and praise you that you are the creator of all things, that your Son came in the world to defeat sin and death and went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, that we could walk in your righteousness, experiencing your forgiveness and your power. And Lord, help us as we face the darkness around us, to not be overwhelmed by the darkness, but to focus on the light of your word and to understand that you are greater than he that would seek to come against the souls of men. Lord, speak to us now through your word this afternoon, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, there's a lot of things happening in the world today, and if you look at prophecy in the Bible, it's almost as if prophecy is coming alive as we live. Every day you pick up a news article, go on the web and look at things that are happening around the world, and you can turn in the books of prophecy and scripture and read the prophets, and things are happening at lightning speed. This last week, we saw that what's happening in the Middle East is intensifying. Iran is aligning itself closer with Russia. Israel is attacked Iran yesterday morning, early in the morning, and bombed many of their radar stations as well as many of their places where they make the fuel to fuel these rockets and missiles. At the same time, they are trying to destroy Hezbollah and the northern borders, who keep shooting rockets at Israel. And if you go back to when all of this started, it was only on October 7th of last year. And you had a group of young people, although I wouldn't have gone to the festival myself, but they were celebrating a festival. It was at the last portion of one of the festivals of Israel when they were attacked and slaughtered. and they've done nothing. In the last year, we've seen things multiply at exponential rates. Earlier this year, Russia, Iran, and Turkey met in Russia. The Bible speaks about the fact they're going to be in alliance in the last days to come against Israel. And we see things happening, one world government pressing forward, one world economy pressing forward, economic news. Our president wants to establish, instead of the dollar as our currency, current president wants to have an electronic form of currency. AI is becoming more and more prevalent in our daily lives. And people know more and more about everything you do. From all your smart appliances, to your smart TVs, to your computers, to even cell phones. You're kept track of. Have you ever wondered why you go on an ad to try and buy a new car, and then all of a sudden, everywhere you go, new cars start popping up. As far as on your computer, your cell phone, you start getting ads in the mail. Why? The surveillance is unbelievable. When I was a kid and you looked at the Bible and it talked about the fact that there'd come a one world government that would have established a one world economy, and they determine what you could buy and what you could sell, they determine where you would live, they would determine all of these things, and I said, how could it happen? But it's happening. I want to tell you, Satan's got a plan, but God's got a better plan. The Lord knows the beginning from the end, and the Lord will deal with Satan. But the Scriptures tell us that the battle we wage isn't against men, but it's against the spiritual forces that are behind them. Paul has been talking about our position in Christ. He's been talking about who Jesus is. He's been talking about the importance of walking with the Lord. He's been in the importance of not being deceived by false teachers and people who wouldn't hold to the principles of God's Word but yet come in His name. And now he's coming to the conclusion of this letter. And he wants us to be well aware of the battle we're in and how we stand. And this morning I want to look at this battle. He tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The first thing we're to do is to remember where we draw our strength from. Jesus said in His words recorded in John 15, you are the branches, I am the vine, and you draw from me. We draw from Christ our strength, our power, our ability to bear fruit, our ability to live and stand against an enemy. I want you to know, Satan knows exactly who Jesus is. Satan knows exactly what his standing is when it comes to being before Jesus. One can go back and you can see the record in the Gospels when Jesus was walking and when it came to, he cast out the demons from the demoniac. And the demons begged him. They said, you're not here to put us away before our time. Why did they say something like that? Because they know the final end that they face is a lake of fire. But their rebellion is without repentance. And that is where they're facing. And instead they asked if they could be cast into the herd of swine. And to show you that demons are really behind a cult of death, and Satan was a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies, the demon asked to be cast into the swine, and the swine immediately, when the demons went into and possessed the swine, they immediately ran over a cliff and drowned in the sea. The demons know who Jesus is. The demons know who's going to win the battle. Satan knows, but he's so self-deluded, he thinks somehow he can win. If he could just kill all the Jews, then God wouldn't be God. If he could get rid of all the Christians, God wouldn't be God. But I want to tell you, there are people today that, young people in our country, that have never ever looked at history, they don't know scripture, and they're still protesting that the Jews should be driven out of the land of Israel. Some of them are crying, "We're Hamas." You know Hamas's goal and Hezbollah's goal and Iran's goal? To kill every Jew. Who are they motivated by? Not by God. But we are to realize that finally, we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Next week we're going to look at the armor of God, but this morning I want to look at the wiles of the devil. We should know the schemes of Satan. He's revealed them to us, and he doesn't change his game plan, he just changes his players. You go back into the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man who was Jewish, and he lived during the time when Israel had been taken into captivity by Babylon. Later they were overtaken when Babylon defeated the Medes and the Persians. They were brought into captivity under the Medes and Persians. And Cyrus the Great, the king of the Medes, declared that Israel, the Jewish people, should be able to go back to their land. Not only did he say they could go back to their land, but he also declared that they should rebuild their temple. All this had been foretold by the Lord, by the way. There was a man by the name of Nehemiah who was the cupbearer to the man who ruled after Cyrus. And as he came one day, he came very troubled. And if you're a cupbearer, you don't want to show that type of emotion to the guy that you're bearing the cup for. You see, a cupbearer is to be, he's to taste the drink, he's to eat the food, he is the one that a king would trust with his life because he does on a daily basis. He's there to make sure the king is not poisoned and that people do not put the king to death. So you don't want to come into his presence downtrodden, looking troubled. And that's what Nehemiah did. And Nehemiah, the king asked him, "What's wrong, Nehemiah?" He said, "The walls of Jerusalem are torn down and not rebuilt. The king, to make a long story short, what the king did is the king commissioned Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem and to oversee the rebuilding of the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Unheard of for a king to do that, but it was also unheard of for a king to send people back to rebuild their temple for the god they worship. Well, Nehemiah goes back, and he's met with a group of people who are inspired by Satan to try and get him never to rebuild that wall. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Griffin. Oh, there are others that were there encouraging their view on. But what these men did give us a clue as to Satan's way that he tries to destroy your faith. That he tries to undermine your walk with the Lord. That he tries to prevent you from walking with Jesus and experiencing the power of God. As you look at Nehemiah and what he was doing, did they have the ability with God's help to rebuild the walls? The answer is yes. The amazing thing is, they got the walls rebuilt in short order, a relatively short amount of time, and they didn't have the equipment we had today. They did it by hand. But God had ordained that the walls of Jerusalem should once again stand, the temple should be built, the people should be back in their land, and Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem were not going to prevent them from doing it. Because God is the God of power and might. But I want to share six things that are really the wiles of Satan. And if you take these six things looking from Nehemiah and apply them to our culture today, you will see they're happening all the time. When anybody wants to stand for truth, they're attacked on one of these, if not all six, and they begin to go down order. The first thing that Nehemiah faced was mockery. Satan wants to mock you if you want to stand for Jesus. If you want to stand for truth, if you want to live your life for Christ, he will try to make a mockery of you. He'll make sport of you. Francis Schaeffer said one of the things that the people were going to do that he saw would begin to be the demise of America and the demise of the church in America was name-calling, mocking. How many times have you heard, you want to take a stand for truth? You will be mocked. What do you think you're doing? You're unloving. You're unkind. You say homosexuality is wrong? Oh, you're a homophobe. You say that people should, marriage is the only way that people should live together? You're unloving. All kinds of names and ways to mock you and say that what you believe is meaningless. Why would you believe something that archaic and that outdated? We've got things coming up now, even on our own ballot, where they want to have marijuana for recreational use. Again, third time it's been up for vote. They won't tell you to go to Colorado and see how well it's worked out for them. Crime is up. Marriages are breaking up. People are having financial problems. Other drug use is way up. All things that were foretold by those that said, don't allow the people of Colorado to use marijuana recreationally. Don't encourage them. They were told, you're not with it. People are going to use it anyway. Kind of the same thing you heard about abortion. People are going to kill the babies anyway. You may as well legalize it. The cult of death. Mockery. When you want to stand for truth, you are mocked. But they didn't stop there. The mockery didn't work. Nehemiah didn't listen to them. And they went to the next step. They developed a conspiracy. A conspiracy to overthrow Nehemiah's authority and a conspiracy to undermine Nehemiah's name. And what they began to do is spread the word that the whole reason that Nehemiah wanted to build the walls is he wanted to raise up in rebellion against the Medes and the Persians. And that his goal was rebellion, not restoration. And they begin to develop a conspiracy of lies pointing to Nehemiah, saying, don't listen to this man. Don't follow this man. Don't do what this man says. Satan is still in the conspiracy business. He desires to undermine and destroy you if you stand for truth. And he will tell all kinds of lies to do it. After all, he's the greatest liar that's ever existed because Jesus himself called him the father of lies. The first one that lied. Prior to Satan's lies, the world and all God's creation was very good and it was walking in righteousness. And Satan lied. Who did he lie to? Well, we know he lied to Adam and Eve, but you know who he lied to before that? He lied to the angels in heaven. How do we know that? Because it says a third of the angels in heaven believed Satan and rebelled against God. Why would they do that except they were lied to? Satan told them, God isn't God, we are God. We have just as much power and authority. Look at us. We are angelic beings. We have great authority, great wisdom, great knowledge. We shall be as the Most High. Follow me. And a third of them believed them. And they conspired against God. Satan has a he's still conspiring against God. You can read about his conspiracy in the book of Revelation. It talks about it, and you're seeing it lived out and worked out before your eyes on the nightly news. He's going to get the whole world to follow his man instead of Jesus. You know, people mockingly said, yeah, right, when Klaus Schwab stood up and said, you will own nothing and love it, you will eat crickets and enjoy it. But then if you begin to look at the plans that these people are putting in place, they have 15-minute cities and they're building them. A 15-minute city is you will live there and you will only be able to go where you can go 15 minutes walking or on a bicycle. Because you will not own a car. Everything that you need will be in that 15 minutes. And then if you look at what they're doing a masterful job of destroying our food. And they're also introducing meals with insects. These people are wicked. But lest we think that they're crazy, the Bible says that they're just implementing a conspiracy plan that Satan put in place to try and overthrow God. and to have everybody in the world worship Him and follow Him instead of God. One of the first things they do is get rid of Christians and get rid of Jews. A conspiracy. They put a conspiracy together against Nehemiah. Well, what did Nehemiah do? He made sure the people understood the truth and not the lies. It was interesting, if you go to the book of Nehemiah, you will see that during part of the building of the wall, Sanballat and his buddies stood on the wall and they were yelling to Nehemiah about how, telling lies about him, telling what he had, how he was really not going to rebuild the wall for the benefit of the people. All of these things, telling all these lies. And he was telling, they were telling it and yelling it in the language of the Jewish people. And Nehemiah sent some of his men and said, tell them to quit talking in our language. I know how to speak theirs. Why? They wanted to deceive the people. And they wanted the people to rebel against Nehemiah. Conspiracy. Next thing is extortion. Not only telling lies, but beginning to act on those lies. And that's what they did. They tried to get people that were really their confederates, but said they were Jewish, and they got them to come against the other Jewish people and make their lives miserable. And say, see, it was better when we were under the Medes and the Persians and under Nehemiah, because look at, and the people will go to Nehemiah and they say, we can't live this way because we have to pay extraordinary amounts of interest on loans, and we have to do all these things that we're not supposed to have to do, and it's not to the Medes and the Persians, but it's to our own people. Extortion. Trying to get people to turn against their own people. Satan is always... I was listening to the news and they were talking about how that right now there's a huge number of Christians that are planning to vote for Kamala Harris because they don't want to vote for Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump has supposedly said things, well, he has said things that he's a New York man and he's not a believer. But he's also stood for pro-life. He stood for the church. He stood for Christians and their protection. He did more for Israel than any president in the history of our nation. At the Democrat convention, they're performing abortions outside the convention. That's what they're for. Yes. Why would people... I'm not saying you have to... who you should vote for, but I'm saying you have to look at what people stand for. And if one stands for life and one stands for death, and you want to not support the one that stands for life because you don't like the way he talks or looks or whatever, what you're doing is you're listening to lies and you're being influenced by really a heavy hand, well, my pastor said, or my church said, or... Fourth thing that they did is they tried to get Nehemiah to compromise. Is there compromising with the truth? I want you to stop and think about that. Is there compromising with the truth? God had called Nehemiah back to rebuild the walls because God wanted the walls rebuilt. And they said, let's just have a compromise. Come on down here, Nehemiah, and talk to us. Let's just compromise on this issue. Is there compromising on truth? Is there compromising on the gospel? Can we present a gospel that maybe isn't so solid, so it won't offend people? Gospel that doesn't tell everybody you're going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus and give your heart and life to Him because you're a sinner that needs the penalty for your sin. You're a rebel at heart. Well, let's just compromise it and soften it down. And you know, there's a lot of organizations that have done that today. There's some of these national organizations that used to be great missionary organizations and send missionaries all over the world. And today you would not even recognize them. Because the gospel is so compromised. When my wife and I got married, we used to support some of those groups. I wouldn't give them a dollar today because they're enemies of the gospel because they compromise what they're teaching. They don't want to be offensive. Or they don't want to get in trouble with local authorities. And so I'm not going to preach the word the way the word is called to be preached. When the disciples left the upper room after Jesus appeared to them, and then after He had risen from the dead, they were immediately called into the offices of the high priest and told, don't preach about Jesus. Don't talk about Him. Don't you say anything that references the fact that you're claiming He rose from the dead. What did they say? They were not going to be silenced by men. Because God had revealed to them the truth, and the truth set men free, and they were called to take the gospel to the Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world, and to present it to all men. And they weren't silent. And they didn't bow to the threats. They didn't compromise. So they said, well, what good would it be if we're dead when nobody's going to be able to preach anything? But what good is it if you're not going to preach when you have the opportunity to preach? What good is it to not tell the truth when you don't have the opportunity to tell the truth? So one of the great schemes of Satan is to get you to compromise and not say what is real. And not stand on godly principle. And listen to other people instead of to the Lord. And instead of following His word and the truth of His word, well, I'll just compromise so I won't offend family, friends, co-workers, whoever. The fourth thing, compromise. The fifth thing, slander. They begin to slander Nehemiah. Satan loves to slander people. You see how many... You can look at what's happened in our own country, and you can see how people will use the tactic of slander to accomplish their purpose. They will say something that somebody did that they never did. And there'd be serious consequences for the accusation that they're making. And yet the person isn't even oftentimes allowed to defend themselves, even though they're supposed to be able to. But that's what slander does. When you slander someone's character, you're calling them and accusing them of something that they never did, and you're saying it and calling it out as fact, and then you really don't even want to allow them the opportunity to speak the truth. That's slandering. And Satan's great at slander. And finally, the last tactic that he used was treachery. Treachery. You won't listen to us, we'll kill you. If you won't listen to us, if you won't stop building this wall, Nehemiah, we're going to have our army come in here and they will kill you. It's interesting what Nehemiah did. He didn't stop building the wall, by the way. What he did is he said, okay guys, when you're building the wall, keep your spear by your side. Keep your bow and arrows handy. And I want every section of every wall to have men at it that can fight. Because we're not stopping. God's called us to do this, and I don't care what they say they're going to do to us, we're not going to stop. And God is going to be our protector, but we are also going to protect ourselves. Satan hasn't changed his tactics. He just changes the people he uses. Why don't you go back to World War II? Adolf Hitler did the same thing. He mocked the people that wanted to stand for truth. Begin to call them names. Then he conspired at how to get rid of them. What would be the best way to get rid of them? He conspired with his leaders, and they put together a plan. Then the next thing he did, he caused extortion. He came against the Jewish people. He had lied about them, said they were the cause of all the problems when they weren't. Then he began to have people go out and destroy their stuff. Then he said, okay, if you'll do this and this and you'll be okay, but he had no plans of them being okay. You know, some of the people that were Jewish people that remained in Germany during World War II against Hitler believed that all the things all the way down, well, look at, I'm a college professor, I'm a politician, I'm somebody, he would never come against me. Then after the extortion, compromise. Well, let's look at here. Who are we going to get rid of first? Well, you know, we've got all of these handicapped people, these mentally handicapped people, these physically handicapped people, they're really a drain on our society. We don't know what to really do with them. We'll just send them away and they won't come home. And nobody will say anything about it. But they're really not going to be that much missed. And then came the Jews. Then came the Gypsies. Then came the Christians. Begin to compromise. Slander. Lying about everything that was happening in Germany and blaming it on people when he was the cause. Slandering. And finally, treachery. Anybody who doesn't agree with me, I will kill. That is Satan's plan. He's worked it out in the past, he'll work it out in the future. Same thing happened in Russia. Same thing happened in Venezuela. Venezuela just had an election, and the guy who was against the current regime in Venezuela won huge victory. But if you come against the current regime, they'll kill you. So he's never been able to take power. These are the schemes of Satan. Now, the real scheme that he does is to come against the church and our function, because the whole point of this is it's a spiritual battle. America was in a unique position of any nation in the history of the world, in that God gave us opportunities no other nation had. And even though there were people that were anti-Christian that were amongst the founding fathers, the vast majority of the founding fathers were Christian in their beliefs, and they based the foundation of our nation on Christian values and the Bible. And that's why we have things like all men are created equal. All men have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as part of our founding documents. Our nation's history, even though we have never been perfect, and we've had a civil war to prove it, we have had other uprisings to prove it, but yet our nation has sent more missionaries out to the world, has done more, printed more Bibles and distributed them than any other nation. But yet, we in America today have believed this plan of Satan and are following, and we're at treachery. I want you to stop and think some things that have happened. There are very well-known people, including President Trump, who are being accused of things and being thrown in prison. Some of them are in prison. They haven't done anything. While there are other people that are out of prison, never had been accused of anything, and done horrible things. As Christians, how do we respond? Well, first of all, we need to realize our calling. And our calling is that you and I have been called to preach the gospel, and Satan's intent in the spiritual battle is to silence. God gave us freedom to do this like no other nation has had the freedom. Are we going to take advantage of it while we still have the opportunity? Are we going to believe what God says and understand the schemes of Satan? Or are we going to fall into yielding to those schemes? And it needs to begin with each one of us, with our lives and the decisions we make, the things we say, the people we share the truth with, and are we willing to stand in the truth? And do we believe the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or schemes of the devil." And I want you to listen to this. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's a structural, orderly, and well-organized organization of evil and wickedness that Satan's the head of. And it begins in the spiritual realms, which we can't fight apart from God. And so when we do not look to the Lord for our help and do not call on the Lord for our strength, and do not seek the Lord to come against the evil that is in wickedness in high places, we have no hope. But if we will, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us so. For faith is the victory. And there's victory in Jesus. Let's just close. Father, I pray that you just help us understand the schemes and the wiles of Satan. Paul tells us to walk circumspectly. We're to be aware of what's happening in our world. We're to live our lives that reflects the truth of God's Word, and we do not compromise with this world. And then we're to understand that our battle is against a spiritual battle, against an enemy that is well organized and powerful, but not as powerful as you. And Lord, help us as we study next week the armor of God and how that you have given us all the things we need to stand against this. Lord, help us to stand. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn to 540.